Good evening, everyone. I call the September 16th, 2024 City Council meeting to order. The clerk will call the roll.
Mr. McAllister?
Here.
Mr. Foley? Mr. Gephardt? Mr. Howe?
Here.
Mr. Lattiser?
Here.
Mr. McElroy? Mr. Ricks?
Here.
Mr. Sinapi?
Here.
Ms. Travis?
Here.
Eight present.
Thank you. Councilman Lattiser, if you could introduce the individual who's going to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance, then we will do the Pledge of Allegiance. We have the national anthem, and I'll come back to Councilman Lattiser for a special presentation. Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you, Mr. President. If I may ask Jessica Collins to come forth and lead us in the pledge. Speak right into the mic.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Joseph.
Thank you. If there is no objection, I would like to go right to general communications as we have a guest here. Is there any objections from members of the council? Okay, Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you, Mr. President. Jessica, if you could come forward. If anyone would like to come along for support for Jessica, feel free to come right on up. I know we have... this is just an amazing turnout for such a deserving individual. I can tell you, I've been on the council for 12 years, and I don't recall ever seeing such a large group of support for a particular person, and so well deserved for Jessica. You know, the saying that, you know, rain, snow, hail, or sleet, you know, the mail must go through. Jessica takes it to even a different level. It's beyond the delivery of the mail. It's about, oh, the trash wasn't picked up. Are they okay? Rings the doorbell. Is no one home? Is she sick? Does she feel well? Bring him soup, whatever. This young lady is incredible. And when you have that type of dedication, regardless of what industry you happen to be in, regardless of whether you're delivering the mail, whether you're, whatever you're doing, to have that dedication to the people that you work for, which is all of you, is amazing. When this was talked to me about you at one of the recent gatherings at the Riverview Improvement Association, obviously an extremely active organization, this is like, this just can't go unnoticed. This young lady deserves to come before this honorable body, before the city council, in the city council chambers, and be officially recognized for going above and beyond, way above and beyond delivering the mail. Just an absolute individual. No, you won't. I won't let you. So because I'm a whole lot older than you, I have to put these things on so I can read this. You can read it.
Okay.
No, I'm only kidding.
Oh. I was ready.
Oh, by the way, when I just called you a second ago, the city clerk was extremely quick to turn the national anthem on. Normally, there's a few seconds in between the pledge and the national, and I was just going to, like, really get to you and say, Jessica, you have to lead us in the national anthem, too. But she saved you. So you can thank our city clerk for that. This is a resolution of congratulations. Resolved that whereas Jessica Collins works for the United States Postal Service, and whereas Jessica has been serving the Riverview Neighborhood Association for many years and has become an honorary member of the neighborhood, and whereas Jessica has served this community in many ways, and one characteristic that distinguishes Jessica's career as a public service is her enormous capacity for hard work. And whereas Jessica has earned the respect and admiration of everyone with whom she has come in contact with, whereas Jessica's friendship and concern for others exemplifies the sense of community so important to the Riverview neighborhood, and whereas these years of service has been marked by exemplary dedication to the best interests of our community, and we appreciate all her assistance to the Riverview neighborhood. Now, therefore, be it resolved, the mayor and the City of Warwick City Council wish to congratulate Jessica Collins for her outstanding commitment to the Riverview neighborhood and to extend to her our deepest appreciation for all her dedicated work and wish her all the best in her future endeavors. Jessica, congratulations and thank you very much. Jessica.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much.
I'd also like to thank and recognize amongst all of the members of the Riverview Improvement Association and neighbors that our Warwick Postmaster has also taken time out of his busy schedule to be here this evening to recognize and celebrate with Jessica. Thank you, sir. She's starting to get me concerned now that she might be running for council. She's liking this too much. Okay, Jessica, goodbye. Good night.
All right, thank you again. We are back at the full council meeting. We are still under general communications. These are the announcements of congratulations, condolences, our community events. Do any members of the council have any general communications at this time? Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you, Mr. President. I just want to thank you and all my colleagues on the City Council for your indulgence with this evening. I know it was takes some extra time, but so well deserved. And as you can see, the turnout and the relationship that the community has with her is amazing. So thank you all.
That was great. Councilman Sinapi.
Just announced that the Pontiac Neighborhood Association is having their annual fall festival on Saturday. It'll be from 10 to 2 at the park in Pontiac.
Thank you. Councilman Gephardt.
I wanted to congratulate the Cohasset Neighborhood Association on their 8th annual block party held this weekend at St. Craig's Church. Over 400 people came out, had a movie, had all kinds of activities. So it was a pretty awesome day. So I just want to thank everyone who helped plan that. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilman Howe.
Very quickly, thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to recognize and thank Representative Vella Wilkinson, former Councilwoman of Ward 3, Camille Vella Wilkinson, as well as recognize the host Ward 6, Councilwoman Donna Travis, and thank Councilwoman Travis and Mayor Picozzi for putting on a very respectful, very honorable September remembrance, as they do every year. I encourage anyone to go to Ward 6, Oakland Beach Wall, and go see that September 11th memorial. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Councilman. Any other council members on anything under general communications? Okay, again, at this time, we do have executive session of the City Council. First up on the agenda, we do have two public hearings. The stenographer is on her way. So if there's no objections, we do have four individuals have signed up for public comment. So if there's no objections from my colleagues, I'd like to do public comment at this time. Is there any objections? Okay, hearing none, we'll move to public comment. Rule 41, after the general communications and prior to the consent calendar, at the last regularly scheduled meeting of the City Council each month, there shall be a period of time not to exceed 30 minutes during which citizens may comment about Warwick City government issues subject to the following stipulations. The total period of time for public comment shall not exceed 30 minutes. Comments need to be brief in order to allow as many citizens as possible to participate. Each citizen signed up and present shall have not to exceed 5 minutes to speak, provided, however, that if there are more than six citizens are signed up in presence, the 30 minutes will be split evenly among speakers. Time shall not be transferable among speakers. The topics for comment shall be issues directly affecting city government. City Council members will not respond to questions during public comment period. The public comment session will terminate at the expiration of the earlier of all the speakers concluded their allotted time or 30 minutes. Waiver of this provision requires a unanimous vote of the council. So I do want to do a last call. Are there anybody else that would like to sign up? We have four individuals. Anyone else here that would like to sign up that hadn't had a chance? Okay. The first speaker, and each individual will have up to 5 minutes, is Ann S. We just want to make sure that the mic is on, if someone could help her with that. It's on. Thank you, Phil.
Thank you, and this will be the last tonight. many of these issues are probably not under your direct responsibility, but for one, I think Public Works needs more mowers, especially the mowers with have twist heads on them, because not only are the sidewalks need desperately cutting, but the walls and the guardrails, you can't see them. I've reported several through the app online, and I'm waiting to see how they get done. But anyway, just if we have some extra ARPA funds, that would be a good use. On the five-year project, there is the finance director, if I understand, included $3 million in the projections that is coming from the school cameras and the red light cameras. I do not think that income that we do not expect to be constant and ongoing should be included in an ongoing budget. The chief clearly said that the school cam revenue will decrease and has in every other city that's had them. And putting this kind of revenue, whether it's the sale of a piece of real estate or this income or the revenue from discovered accounts that had balances in them, only puts the taxpayer in a worse situation when that money has to be found the next year. Next year, we're coming into a revaluation, and we're looking at probably a $10 to $14 million hole in the budget before we even get started. And the taxpayers are going to go, they're going to be very upset, and they're going to blame the increase in taxes on the revaluation when it's not going to be the problem. The Public Works Director at the last meeting pointed out that the city needs three garbage trucks every 2 years for the next few years. And I happened to look at the capital budget expenditures and saw one truck anticipated. So that led me to the question is that $3 or $4 million that it's going to cost? These trucks are almost $500,000 a piece. Is that in the five-year projection, or is that something that the department is saying that we need, but it hasn't been communicated to the finance director, you know, the finance department? I'm hoping that the finance director has reached out to all these departments and got their wish list. But again, that's another reason for a meeting to discuss. Thank you.
Thank you. The next speaker is Clayton P.
Good evening. My name is Clayton Palmer. I'm a resident in Ward 7. I've been a resident of Warwick since 1983. I'm here today to redress a grievance with you about an ordinance I've encountered. I believe this ordinance violates Rhode Island State Constitution, Rhode Island General Law, and my civil rights. The ordinance in question is City of Warwick, Chapter 6, Boards and Commissions, Article 4, Board of Public Safety, Section 6-72, Permits, Concealed Carry Weapons, Paragraph 2, Part D, which was passed 5-15-15. It states, the applicant must demonstrate competence, familiarity, and proficiency with a handgun by completing a certified NRA firearm safety course or its equivalent of at least 4 hours, which includes classroom and range time. This ordinance, I believe, is in direct violation of Rhode Island General Law 1147-58, Firearms State Preemption, which states the control of firearms, ammunition, or their components, parts regarding their ownership, possession, transportation, carrying, transfer, sale, purchase, purchase delay, licensing, registration, and taxation will rest solely with the state. This law, known as the statewide preemption law, prohibits local governments from enacting or enforcing any ordinance or regulation related to firearms that are more restrictive than the state. This ordinance, I believe, is in violation of the Constitution of the State of Rhode Island, specifically Article 13, Section 2, which is in regards to home rule for cities and towns. Section 2, local legislative powers. Every city and town shall have the power at any time to adopt a charter, amend its charter, enact and amend local laws relating to its property, affairs, and government, not inconsistent with this Constitution and laws enacted by the General Assembly in conformity with the powers reserved to the General Assembly. Also, I believe this ordinance is in violation of Article 1, Section 2, which has six elements. I will read two that are applicable to this situation. Article 1, Declaration of Certain Constitutional Rights and Principles. Section 2, no person shall be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor shall any person be denied equal protection under the law. I believe this ordinance is also in violation with the U.S. Constitution, 14th Amendment. I'm not going to go over it. It's pretty much verbatim as the state constitution. What are the requirements under the law? Under 1147-11, you must be 21 years of age or over, having a bona fide residence or place of business within the city or town, or any person 21 years of age or over having a bona fide residence within the United States and a license or permit to carry a pistol or revolver concealed upon his or her person issued by the authorities of any other state or subdivision in the United States. Also, he or she will be a suitable person to be licensed. The license or permit shall be in triplicate form to be prescribed by the Attorney General and shall bear the fingerprint, photograph, name, address, description, and signature of the licensee and the reason given for the desiring the license. The other law and requirement applicable is 1147-15, which is proof of ability required for a license or permit. No person shall be issued a license or permit to carry a pistol or revolver concealed upon his or her person until he or she has presented certification as prescribed in 1147-16 that he or she has qualified with a pistol or a revolver or caliber equal to or larger than the one he or she intends to carry. That qualification to consist of a firing score of 195 or better.
You have 1 minute, sir.
Roger. Out of a possible score of 300. So the requirement is you have to show proficiency on a target with an NRA instructor. On August 23rd, several weeks of effort and time, it took me time to complete this application. I went to the Warwick Police Department to submit my application, and they refused to accept my application, claiming this ordinance, as stated previously, This ordinance, as stated previously, was in effect. This ordinance is not listed as a requirement in the application, nor is it cited on the website where you find the link to download the application. This immediately caused an unnecessary delay in the process to exercise a constitutional right. After doing a little research into these classes, I found that not only are they not readily available, but they also are quite costly. Between $250 and $550. Rhode Island General Law 1147-12 states that the fee to obtain a license in the state of Rhode Island is $40. I'm here tonight to request the City Council review and repeal or amend this ordinance. I urge you to take this complaint seriously for the legal integrity of the city legislation and the rights of its citizens.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
The next speaker is Richard L.
Richard Langseth, Budlong Farm. The first topic is the handicapped access to the City Hall. As you may recall, last month I brought to your attention the lack of handicapped access to the City Hall. I talked to the mayor's office, got no response. This is part of a larger issue. It's the building of the skating rink, if you will, behind City Hall. I see very little progress. It just seems like one or two guys show up once in a while. This is a very high priority item for us trying to get to City Hall. I would like to see the mayor move this project ahead so that there's adequate parking. But in any case, we need more handicapped parking. And I would urge the City Council to talk to the mayor's office and get that moving ahead. I'd really appreciate that. This is kind of a strange thing, and it just came up. Some cities and towns and counties have secret non-disclosure agreements with various entities, and it's becoming more and more common. So I asked under an APRA request to the clerk for any non-disclosure agreements that the city has with RIAC. It would be devastating if that's true, but I hope that we all move ahead to find out whether we have any non-disclosure agreements with RIAC. Another issue that comes up every month, of course, is Buttonwoods. There is an ordinance describing some of the streets at Buttonwoods as being private streets. The ordinance never had a hearing. It was not pre-advertised. It was just slipped in. Hopefully, we can get this before the City Council. While the present City Council members are still here, I've been talking to the city solicitor. Hopefully, we can get this thing moving ahead because it's been since June, and it's just going rather slowly. And then, of course, the final thing is the field view. I call it Strawberry Field. That's coming up for a second passage. And I'm under the impression that RIAC is not moving very fast with this project. If you go there, you see very little activity. They have awarded a $44 million contract with a developer to build the infrastructure upon which Federal Express and UPS and whatever are going to build their facilities. The funding is scant. There's very little funding for this. And I would urge for the next 2 weeks to everybody consider the idea that if you're going to abandon these streets at Strawberry Field, that you put a contingency in based upon the development of the project. And if they don't move forward with the project, then the streets are not abandoned. I think that's a fairly modest requirement. Now, the city solicitor came in and he said that, well, the statute doesn't require that. Well, as I understand statutes, if they don't deny something, the city has the ability to do something. If the statute says you cannot do so and so, well then of course you can't do it. But if the statute says okay, you can abandon streets, then you can put contingencies on that abandonment. And I would really wish that everybody consider this. Again, I can't describe enough my frustration that the airport is getting away.
You have with, 1 minute, Mr. Langseth.
That the airport is getting away with $4 million gift because the appraiser doesn't understand how to appraise airports. Again, this will come up in 2 weeks, and I thank you for your time.
Thank you, sir. The next speaker is Dawn F.
Hello, my name is Dawn Forte. I live in the Apanag neighborhood. I am a retired art public school teacher, and I now am a substitute teacher here in Warwick. I moved to Warwick. I lived in Cranston for many years, and when my kids were grown, we decided to move here to Warwick. We live across from the Crow's Nest, and I absolutely love it here. I would always enjoy the parks here in Warwick. I would drive here to paint, and I just want to say thank you for that. The public spaces here are absolutely beautiful, and I don't think there is another place in Rhode Island, another city in Rhode Island, quite like Warwick because of the parks that you offer. I go to City Park on a daily basis. I either walk, ride my e-bike, or run. And I, you know, I love Gardner, and I also live on right next to that little Arnold's Neck waterfront park. There are three little concerns. Well, one of them is kind of a major concern, actually, because recently there were a couple of the concern is speeding. And Mr. McAllister, I spoke with him over the phone. And he's already working on the problem, and I was very happy to hear about that. He's putting in something for speeding with the police. He's working with the police. So that's really good news, and I can't wait to tell everyone. I'm sorry that I don't have the fishermen with me. I do have signatures, but I didn't bring the neighborhood. The next time, though, I'm going to have them come here with me. Hopefully, I can get them here. So that was the main concern for me was the speeding, because some of the ducks have been killed recently on the side of the road, and I have not seen that before here. I've been here now since 2016, and I've never seen the ducks killed on the side of the road. So I think with the improvements of the new restaurant and the bait shop, people are just, I don't know, they're eager and they're speeding, and they don't realize they're speeding. So thank you for that. And very quickly, since the new company Solar, many of the young or the individuals that go there, I noticed, have come to the waterfront park, Arnold's Neck, and before they leave, a lot of them spin and speed after their weed. They spin and speed after the weed. And it creates a dust storm. And the dust storm from the parking lot there goes into my home. The dust goes all over my house. And I was hoping to get gravel. The marina down the street from me, Safe Harbor, just put gravel in. And it looks absolutely beautiful. And they don't have any of that speeding there. And we do have gravel, but it's very, very old, and it's more like dirt now. And so it does. It comes up like a dust storm. So if we could get some gravel at the waterfront park, the fishermen would really appreciate that. There's a lot of potholes, and the ducks are swimming there as well during the rainy season. And the last thing would be the extensive weed growth on the telephone poles and on the power lines. And I'm not sure if that's going to affect the infrastructure.
You have 1 minute.
Thank you. And there's a beautiful pine tree right at the waterfront park that the city put in. It's a very expensive pine tree. And it's beautiful, but it's being strangled to death by weeds. So I talked to Jay today. He was there doing a fabulous job cutting with the weed whacker in between rocks. And he told me that would be a job for highway because it's a more difficult problem with the strangulation of this tree. But it is beautiful landscape that the city put in, very expensive landscape that I don't want to see, you know, go away, but and the power lines as well. So we do need some trimming of that. And I just want to say thank you. I have some art to share with you if I could give to Mr. McAllister after the meeting. Just a little thank you from me to you, a little painting that I did of the cove, one of many. Thank you very much
for listening. Thank you. Thank you. If you want, Councilman Gephardt will grab it. Thank you very much. Okay. Thank you, Councilman. Yeah. Now, again, we're kind of moving around on the agenda here. We do have two public hearings. We do have a stenographer here. So is there any objections to hearing the public hearings at this time? And then we will go into an executive session. I'm sure the attorneys will object to that, but sorry. So is any objections to hearing a PCO 11-24 at this time? Okay, hearing none, we are now on referred business. Number one is PCO 11-24, committee report, land use, public properties.
Recommend opening public hearing.
Second by Councilman Foley. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. So how we do public hearings here in Warwick is what I will do is I will ask, is there anyone here to present this proposal to the city council? An individual will come up and they will identify themselves and they will present this proposal to the city council. Then I will ask members of the council if they have any questions or comments at this time. Then after that, we will move to the public. I will ask three times, are there any members of the public that would like to speak in favor of this project? Then I will ask three different times, are there any members of the public that would like to speak against this project? And then we will also offer an opportunity, and I will give that three times as well. Is there anyone who would like to be heard on this project? After those three things are done, we will then move back to the full council meeting, and the council will close the public hearing and continue it there. And then we will do one, and then we'll move to the next one after that. So that is how this will go this evening. I ask that each speaker please speak slowly and identify themselves and into the microphone. It's very difficult to hear in these chambers, and we have the stenographer here for the record. So is there anyone here this evening to present PCO 11-24, an ordinance amending the zoning ordinances of the City of Warwick, custom buildings, applicant 1550 Centerville Road?
Good evening, Mr. President. David Johnston, attorney for the applicant, my office at 2363 Post Road in Warwick.
Good evening, sir. Go right ahead.
Thank you. So we're seeking a zone change application here this evening. It's plat 251, lots 11 and 12 on Centerville Road. That's just opposite Legree Ave, where Legree Ave starts or stops on Centerville Road. It's a 1.43 acre parcel of land. we're proposing 14 townhouse style units, 2 and 3 unit buildings. Parcel is excuse me, the parcel is currently zoned A7. We're seeking to add this to the PDR overlay district, which would be considered an A7/PDR zone, subject to your approval this evening. The planning board did unanimously approve the master plan application and also unanimously gave a positive recommendation for this zone change application here this evening. The planning board found that the project is consistent with the surrounding area and the surrounding neighborhood, is consistent with the community's comprehensive plan for existing as well as future land use goals in the comprehensive plan. We have reviewed all of the planning board's stipulations that are part of their approval, and the applicants, as well as myself, are in full agreement with these stipulations. The goal ultimately of this project is to provide a wide variety of housing options in Warwick. These are going to be townhouses that are more competitively priced with single family residentials in the neighborhood. However, they offer the same amenities as far as location, size of living, et cetera. It really opens the community up to younger individuals, younger families to get their foot in the door of home ownership, as well as older folks retiring, looking to get out of a single family home. The applicants and myself are here this evening, happy to answer any questions. The owners and applicants, excuse me, are here this evening to discuss any questions or any concerns the members of the council may have.
Thank you very much. This is in Ward 8, Councilman Sinapi.
So that property right now is not great, so I'm glad to see something's potentially going to be done with it. My main concern is if there's any issues from abutters that hasn't been addressed, and obviously we haven't heard one way or another in that regard from those here. So I'll reserve my comments for the moment.
Thank you. Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you, Mr. President. Did you say that this parcel is 1.7 acres?
A little less than that, 1.43 acres.
1.43, okay.
The density in the zone is 12 acres per unit. We're slightly under that. I think it would allow for 16 or 17 units, if I recall. The initial conversations, it was reduced down in conversations with the planning department.
And you're looking to put in 12 units?
This is 14.
14.
14 units. It's 2 units and 3 units.
Do you know what the value of the 1.43 acres is?
I'm an attorney. I'm a real estate attorney. Whenever people ask me what something's worth, I always shake my head when I see what it's sold for later. I really don't know what it is. I know the applicants purchased it a little while ago, mm-hmm. Looked at various different options, and this is something that in their discussions with the planning department, they landed on as a viable option. But I don't know.
Okay. I don't have any objections to this. The only thing that I would request is that the comments that have been put forth by our building official, Al DeCourt, be included in this. And he's basically got the same thing and the next one coming up too. Other than that, I don't have any concerns with it. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Councilman Howe.
Thank you, Mr. President. Seeing that this is Ward 8, I will go on the recommendation of the councilman who has to answer to his constituents, but I do have a general question. It seems like lately we've had, you said at the beginning, this is a residential area with a lot of individual houses. It's an A7 property, and you're looking for the variance to make it for the townhouses. If you look at the landscape of that neighborhood and it's single family houses, why multifamily?
So this property enters, it doesn't enter through a neighborhood. This is direct access to the main artery on Centerville Road. So you're not putting the townhouses in behind a bunch of residential families. So it does have direct access to a main road. The difference between a standard A7 subdivision that wouldn't be here, that would be before the planning board, and an overlay zone like this is that it allows us to bring the density in to pull things in closer from the property line. So we have a smaller private driveway and we have reduced setbacks to that private driveway. So the buildings can be closer to each other versus a 40-foot wide road that's got to go right up the middle, which necessarily it one, reduces the number of units you could do, but two, it pushes the impact out to the outer lying area, right? So it moves the homes closer to the abutting property lines. Creates a bigger road, a bigger impact as far as drainage. It creates a public road as well, which has a bigger impact as far as city structure. So the overlay zone is for parcels kind of like this one, similar to the one that is on the next public hearing as well that we have, where they're somewhat underutilized. They can't be easily tied into an existing neighborhood. It would have to dead end with a cul-de-sac. So you're dealing with a lot of pavement, a lot of infrastructure that the city would ultimately own. The overlay districts allows you to get similar density with less impact to the city. And as you're pulling things in, you're making your infrastructure smaller. So it's less drainage concerns, less environmental impact concerns. And you're allowed to have a buffer. It gives you room for a buffer. There's a 10-foot vegetated buffer. So there's a from the property lines in 10 feet, there's a garden. Part of the preliminary plan, our next phase of this application to the planning board, is a landscape design that has certain standards to allow for screening at different heights so that when you're sitting in your backyard, you're not looking at this project. So that's at the next phase. This overlay gives you a 10-foot wide buffer, and then you're 25 feet on the sides to your building, 35 feet in the rear of your building. So the overlay allows you to shrink things down, minimize the impact while creating the same amount of density.
So if I can clarify, this plot of land that you're looking to build on, if you were to build single family dwellings, you would have to have a road that goes straight up into the gut.
Yeah, that's correct.
So that would reduce.
There's
okay.
A good example of this exact parcel that was built, and I can say things about the builder because he was my father, would be Greatwoods Drive off of Greenwich Avenue. Very similar. It was about 9 or 10 houses on about the same size parcel of land, but it's a large road that goes up, has a circle in the back, and comes back out. So it's considerably more infrastructure. It had to go into a project like that then versus now. All of that drainage has to be caught on site and dealt with. So much, much smaller retention basins, retention ponds, and other infrastructure.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. President.
Any other questions at this time for members of the council?
I may have one, but I'm going to wait till after the public speaks because I'm looking for something.
Okay. So we will move to the members of the public. Again, I will ask three times first for people who are speaking for, then I will ask if there's anyone here to speak against, and then I will ask if anyone would like to be heard on this project. So at this time, is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of this project?
Hello, my name is Richard Langseth, L-A-N-G-S-E-T-H. I live at Budlong Farm. I speak in favor of this project. We need affordable housing in Warwick. Centerville Road, as we all know, is pretty much a disaster already. To add more housing on that road is in my mind, okay, because you just can't get down there very well anyway. So it doesn't really matter. It's never going to get to the point of absolutely stopping traffic. So those of us who have to go to the courthouse, we just have to put off our time a little bit. I'm just joking. But I think it's really important that the city council understands that there are people who really want to move to Warwick and really need affordable housing. And Mr. Johnson's proposal fits right into that. And I speak in favor. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Is there anyone else who would like to speak in favor of this project?
Good evening. My name is Gail Barnes. I have the plat adjoining this piece of property. And I personally will be glad to see something put in there that will improve the neighborhood and give new life to a vacant piece of land that we couldn't do anything with it. We was too small to build on. Nobody wanted it. Debris, trees fall down, things like that. So when I saw this plan come up, I immediately took interest in it. I think it's going to be great. I like the layout. I understand they're going to take care of some of the water drainage problem. And I think it'll be a good addition to the neighborhood. And I'm looking forward to see it developed quickly. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else here who would like to speak in favor of this project? Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of this project? Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of this project? Is there anyone here that would like to speak against this project? come on down.
Unfortunately, I missed the first half because I went to the wrong building. So I apologize. My name is Susan Anderson, and I abut the lot itself. My biggest concern last time before, which I was told nothing could be done as far as the traffic, congestion, the noise. We're on the flight plane, that the planes go right overhead also. And right now, the trees in that lot are hiding. I don't know, it's West Warwick. On the opposite side, there's a smoke shop that went in about a year and a half ago. And they have LED lights that shine 24/7. I don't know. I know this is Warwick, if something can be done about that at all. Because I understand if this gets developed, then I would assume there's not going to be that much of a buffer for that lighting situation. My biggest concern is flooding. My house drops down. I have a rock wall behind me, and it drops down at least 3 feet. And my neighbor that just spoke, I understand she already has some flooding in her basement. And I've spoken with several other neighbors that they said they wouldn't come tonight because they figured the deal is already done, and that's what they told me. And they have flooding, and they've put into their insurance companies, and they haven't been in any way reimbursed. I'm not for development. I was hoping maybe in a smaller form, maybe 2 or 3 houses. The lot isn't very big. That would lower the congestion. I understand originally, unless something's changed that I missed already tonight, I apologize, were they were 2-level houses. The neighborhood's all ranch houses. And I would assume with 14 buildings that would, if there's an upstairs and a downstairs, there'd be at least 2 bathrooms. That'd be a minimum of 28 residents. Originally it said on the form there was no children, but I understood from the lawyer, he said that's not something that could be like enforced in any way. So you could have more than 2 people. I think we need more for families. The 2 buildings, the 2 mills that were developed in West Warwick are fantastic. There's hundreds. They've taken old buildings like the Sawtooth building and revamped it and put hundreds of apartments for people who are divorced or people who are starting out who can't afford to have a down payment for a house right now. I think that's great, and that's taken that, but I think we need more homes and less congestion. I don't know how those people are going to be able to get out, and we certainly don't need another light there to come out. There's, from my house down to the highway, there's got to be 6 lights. There's 3 high schools, I mean, 4 schools total. There's between on 117 people trying to get up into Scott School, nobody lets them in. Drum Rock, the junior high, and the high school all have problems with people trying to get in and out. The drainage, I'm mostly concerned. That's my biggest concern, that I don't have any flooding in my house at all. I would be very bad if I have insurance and the insurance tells me they're not going to pay for that. The thing I missed is, are they going to be hooked up to sewers or not? Is that,
Mr. Attorney?
Is definitely sewers?
Yeah. Okay. You have to go on the microphones.
It'd be serviced by water and sewer. Yes.
So they will be connected to water and sewer.
In the initial diagram that they had last time, there was, I don't know what you call it, and I hope somebody can answer this. Right behind my house, there were 2 things. There was just a wrought iron fencing, so that doesn't give any buffer as far as noise. I don't know if they change the plan to make it like one of those high plastic fencing, 6-8 feet for that. And I know they had arborvitaes there, which are great. And then they had one of those, I don't know what you call them. It's like a rock pit that the water comes into. I don't know. Is that still part of the plan that they were going
to
do that?
Yeah, if you could come to the mic, if you just talk about the area around there, the landscaping, the different things that you're proposing.
Yeah. So you do still have that right behind my property?
So there's three things, I think. Flooding being the first one that we're talking about now. That's a retention basin, so it's not necessarily a rock pit. What it does, it's basically a designed swale in the ground. They may have some type of underground infrastructure to them. They're basically concrete holding tanks. What they do, depending on the soil, is they hold the water from, they take the square footage of the roofs, they take the square footage of the concrete that's impervious, it's not going to soak up any water. Right. They direct that runoff from those gutters, from those drains, into those swales. Now, they're designed to, within a certain relatively short number of hours, be saturated, right? So the water, instead of the water running into your property, it's rooted into those basins, those swales.
Is there only going to be one basin?
I don't know. That's that preliminary plan. Okay. So there'll probably be more than one, just based on the depth. There'll probably be one in the front, one in the back. But those are
Do they actually put piping so it diverts away from my property?
Yes.
Also, what does it divert into
them? Into those drainage basins. And those drainage basins sink down and they go into the ground. So they matriculate down into the groundwater. They don't overflow like a stream anywhere. Okay. They pool the water and then
go
down.
But now as far as the pooling, if we get a lot of rain like we've had now, I'm concerned about mosquitoes, especially with Tripoli and West Nile. And I know my next door neighbor, who's not here today, he has young grandchildren that play in his backyard also, that he wouldn't even put spray on because they're so small. Is there anything with is there a guarantee that the water is not going to be above level to contain mosquitoes? That's my question.
Sir.
Thank you, Mr. President. So that's going to be addressed primarily at the next hearing stage.
Yep.
The engineer will design these so that they matriculate in. They can't pool water. They're not going to be a pond there for a long term. Okay. That's something that the planning board and the engineering, well, the planning department and the engineering firm will discuss as well as with DEM. and that's something that Alpha Associates can address either personally or at the next hearing as far as what that will be.
Does that happen though?
The next stage, if this is approved, the next stage is to go into the design work. So they come and they design those, they take soil samples and they design those systems. At that point, he would be able to tell you after a 100-year or a 500-year rain event, how long you could expect standing water to be there.
Right. That would be my biggest concern. Is the standing water and stuff, because especially now because of mosquitoes and stuff. Thank you. I appreciate it. I think that's it. Thank you all for my time. And sorry, I apologize. I was late.
No, perfect timing. Thank you. Is there anyone else that would like to speak against this project at this time? Is there anyone else who'd like to speak against this project? Is there anyone else who would like to be heard on this project at this time? Is there anyone else who would like to be heard on this project at this time? Is there anyone else who would like to be heard on this project at this time? Okay, at this time, can I get a motion to close the public hearing? Councilman Foley, second by Councilman Ricks. All those in favor say aye. Aye. So now we're back to the full council. Councilman Sinapi.
So the only thing I want to make note of is, first, the flooding issue is interesting because I had looked at a house right near there. I think it's actually in a butter. And their basement was like a lake, to be honest. It was very alarming. At the time, it was assumed that it was due to that particular house's lack of gutters, but it sounds like it might be a neighborhood issue, which I'm rather worried about. But I'm glad to hear at least that is on the radar of the developer and they'll be looking into it as we go forward. The other thing is what Councilman Latticer mentioned, I have the document. It looks like that will be addressed one way or another if it comes up, as it's about if it encroaches on the setbacks, they're going to need approval from zoning board. The only thing I wanted to mention is to make sure the developer is aware of Mr. DeCourt's comments. that way, if and when it's become something that needs to be addressed, it's actually done and nobody's surprised. But other than that, it sounds like this is a potentially good project, so I'm looking forward to it going forward.
Any other additional questions or comments from members of the council? Okay, hearing none, Councilman Snappy, would you like to make a motion? We didn't have it. He made a motion for favorable action, second by Councilwoman Travis, Councilman Lattiser, Councilman Gephardt, Councilman Howe, and Councilman Ricks. Any additional questions or comments? Hearing none, the clerk will call the roll for favorable action.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Snappy?
Yes.
Ms. Travis?
Yes.
9 yes, first passage.
Thank you very much. 9 yes, so first passage. So now we will move. Again, is there any objections from my colleagues on the council to hearing PCO 12-24, the second public hearing this evening at this time? Okay, hearing none. We will now take up PCO 12-24, an ordinance amending the zoning ordinances of the City of Warwick, Rhode Island Custom Builders, applicant 1187 Post Road. Committee report, public properties.
Recommend and move to open public hearing.
Second by Councilman Foley. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. So this is, now we're on number two, PCO 12-24. We're going to follow the same exact format that we did for the last one. Members of the council will get to ask questions. Then members of the public, I will ask three times if you'd like to speak for this project, three times if you'd like to speak against this project, and three times if you'd like to be heard on this project. So at this time, is there anyone here to present PCO 12-24 this evening?
Good evening again. David Johnston, attorney for the applicant, office at 2363 Post Road in Warwick. We're here again seeking a zone change. This is 1187 Post Road. This parcel is currently split zoned. The front of the parcel on Post Road is in the general business district. The rear of the parcel is in the A7 district. We're seeking to turn this into the PDR overlay district, so it will be the A7/GB PDR overlay. Here we are proposing an 11-unit townhouse style development extending in from Post Road. The existing retail building, it's a concrete, kind of a split-level building there on the site, will be demolished as part of this project. Again, the planning board unanimously approved the master plan, as well as gave a unanimous positive recommendation for this zone change recommendation. The findings of the planning board included consistency with the surrounding neighborhood, consistency with the comprehensive plan, as well as promoting the redevelopment of outmoded commercial properties. Again, the applicants and I have reviewed the stipulations of the planning board and are in full agreement with them. And similar to the prior project, these are going to be homes which are going to be offered at a price point that are considerably more competitive than with the single family homes in that Norwood area in behind it, again offering housing opportunities to a wide variety of folks, and that's kind of what this project is geared to. Again, it's a standalone parcel of land, about an acre, will have minimal impact on those surrounding areas for the same reasons we discussed with the prior application, and then the development is pulled in from the surrounding property lines, has less infrastructure requirements because of that PDR overlay versus a regular subdivision in this zone. So again, we are here, happy to answer any questions, any concerns the councilmen may have, council members may have, or members of the public.
Thank you very much. This is in Ward 2, Councilman Ricks.
Thank you, Council President. A few questions. Have any of the abutters or other neighbors reached out to you with any questions or concerns?
At the master plan stage some months ago, one or two neighbors did call on this project. We spoke with them somewhat briefly, and I did email a site plan to one neighbor I never heard back from them. I hadn't seen them since, but we did. I did kind of go through what the project entailed.
So it appears that their concerns have been addressed.
Yeah, they didn't voice any concerns. It was mostly curiosity, to be honest with you, at that master plan stage. They received the notice. The city council notice has the full map. I don't remember if the master plan notice has the full map or not, but it was more curiosity as far as how it would work. And that was, it was a relatively short, pleasant conversation.
Oh, certainly. And I'm familiar with that process, and that's to be expected. So I may have some additional comments afterwards, after we see and hear if there are any members of the public from Ward 2 here this evening. But I suppose a couple of quick questions. What's the approximate size of each of the 11 townhouse units? I take it that they're all approximately the same size?
So they will be roughly the same size. They're two-bedroom units. The square footage, if I can ask my builder.
Certainly.
About 1,050 square foot, two-bedroom units.
Yeah, that's a pretty decent size. Not too small, not too large for that desired price point, I suppose. Yeah, one item here is there are a number of various stipulations from the planning board, some of them very common, dare I say, boilerplate. Item number 7, applicant is to locate and preserve existing trees to the greatest extent possible prior to and during site work / construction. So I know that we see that item on so many of these different developments, but I think it really bears emphasis here because the back half of that property, neighbors have been accustomed to having that nice wooded area back there. So to the extent that as many trees as possible can be saved or additional trees can be planted, I'm sure that even if neighbors aren't coming up and voicing their concern ahead of time, I'm sure that they would be very pleased to see some of that tree cover remain, maintaining some of that privacy that they've been accustomed to for all of these years. And without getting too far ahead of myself, because I do want to, of course, hear from the public on this as well, if there are any members of the public from Ward 2 here this evening. None had reached out to me ahead of time. However, of course, there's no requirement to reach out to me ahead of time either. But I do think that this does look like a good fit for the neighborhood. It's residential. The front half of this space has been a little bit of a, it's been something of a strip mall. I think it's polite to say that it has seen better days. And certainly that stretch of Post Road, we have a number of different empty storefronts. Some of those have been renovated recently. We're seeing some life come back, but it certainly seems like we need more housing. And I'm not sure if there's that quite the same demand for those small storefront types that aren't exactly in the greatest condition nowadays. So I certainly think that the idea here makes sense. And it is, I think, very much complementary to the neighborhood to have a nice new modest-sized townhouse units in that area, especially since there's the direct access from Post Road, so it is not contributing to additional traffic on Norwood Ave or Petticoat Ave or the surrounding neighborhood more generally. With that, I'll reserve the rest of my time. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any questions from members of the council? Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you, Mr. President. While I realize this issue is a Ward 2 issue, and as Councilman Sinapi's was a Ward issue, I think whenever we are considering zoning changes, I think it warrants questions and concerns if we have one, because ultimately the decisions that are made here certainly could come back and impact any one of us in our wards at a future time. The only thing I would say on this is the same as I said on Councilman Sinapi's, and I would reference the comments made by Al DeCourt, the building official. I think Councilman Sinapi's reasoning with that was appropriate, but I would just want to bring that to Councilman Rick's attention as well, because they're very similar. I don't have any objections to the proposal itself, but it's something that I just wanted to bring out there. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Any other additional questions from members of the council at this time? Okay. Is there anyone here from the public that would like to speak in favor of this project? Is there anyone here from the public that would like to speak in favor of this project? Is anyone here that from the public that would like to speak in favor of this project? Is there anyone here that would like to speak against this project? Is there anyone here that would like to speak against this project? Is there anyone here that would like to speak against this project? Is there anyone here that would like to be heard on this project at this time? Is there anyone here that would like to be heard on this project? Is there any members of the public here that would like to be heard on this project? Okay, hearing none, can I have a motion to close the public hearing? Councilman Ricks, second by Councilman Foley. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
So now we are back to the full council. Councilman Ricks.
I'd like to thank the applicant as well as the planning department and planning board. From everything that I've seen here going through the application, especially detailing how there are 11 units as opposed to the maximum that could potentially be allowed of 14. Looking at that layout and otherwise looking through the stipulations and the rest of the information in the application, it's clear that a lot of thought, time, and effort went into this to make sure that it is compatible with the neighborhood and that this is what we need here in the city of Warwick at this time, to expand housing while doing so in a way that's compatible with the existing neighborhood. And I think objectively, when one looks at this, overall adding and improving to that Norwood neighborhood. For those reasons, I think that a zoning change here is certainly warranted. I would be in support of that. And I would also just like to, again, thank the applicant for working with the city and otherwise communicating promptly with the neighbors. Generally speaking, in these circumstances where I'm not getting a whole bunch of phone calls, we're not seeing a whole bunch of people, in fact, any people, come to this city council meeting with concerns, that also speaks to the process and that the neighbors are most likely satisfied with the process, having received the information that they need to receive. Thank you.
And Councilman, while you have the floor, do you have a motion?
I do. Move favorable action.
Second by Councilman Foley and Councilman Lattiser, Councilwoman Travis. Any questions or comments on the motion? Hearing none, the clerk will call the roll for favorable action.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley? Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Sinapi?
Yes.
Ms. Travis?
Yes.
9 yes, first passage.
Thank you. First passage passes. Thank you, everyone. At this time, I believe we should go back to the beginning of the agenda, so I'm going to call on Councilman Sinapi.
So I move that the Warwick City Council go into an executive session pursuant to Rhode Island General Laws 42-46-5A2 regarding pending litigation, Cody v. Travis et al., case number 1:23-CV-00346.
Do I have a second to that motion? Second by Councilman Lattiser. We're going to do a roll call on that. Councilman Gephardt, we're going to do a quick roll call on that. All those in favor of moving to an executive session, the clerk will call the roll.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Sinapi? Yes. Ms. Travis?
Yes.
9 yes to move to executive.
Thank you. We are now moving to executive session. Good evening again. We are back at the full council meeting. Solicitor Walsh.
We are now back in open session of the council. We'll provide a report that the Warwick City Council convened into executive session pursuant to Rhode Island General Laws 4246-5A2 regarding pending litigation, Cody v. Travis, et al., case number 1:23-CV-00346. There were two votes taken during executive session. Both were unanimous. The first was a motion to seal the minutes of the executive session, and the second was a motion to return to the open session. And that concludes the executive session report.
Thank you, Solicitor Walsh. So if you're following us on the agenda, we've just completed the executive session of the Warwick City Council. We have already completed general communications. So now we're moving on to executive communications. There are none. So now we're on A, the acceptance of the minutes from the council meeting held on September 4th. Councilman Howe.
Move favorable action.
Second by Councilman Foley. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Abstention? One is going to abstain. I mean, Ward 8 is going to abstain on that. Next up on the agenda is public comment, Rule 41. We have completed that. So now we're on number one, the consent calendar, PCR 89-24, resolution relative to bids, committee report, finance.
Favorable action.
For action, Councilman Howe.
Move favorable action.
Second by Councilman Foley. Go ahead, Councilman Howe.
Thank you, Mr. President. Bid 2023-257. 2025-186, 2024-200, and 2025-168. That concludes the bid.
Thank you. Any questions or comments I would not ask earlier this evening in committee? Okay. Hearing none, the clerk will call the roll for favorable action.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Sinapi? Ms. Travis?
Yes.
9 yes, motion passes.
Thank you, motion passes. I believe one item was removed from the consent calendar. Councilman Howe.
Yes, Mr. President. PCR, correction, formerly bid 2025-130, Padula Court Square Improvements is now PCR 90-24. Recommendation was favorable action. With amendment.
With an amendment. Okay. For action, Councilman Howe.
Move favorable action with amendment.
Second by Councilman Foley. Councilman, what is the amendment? Do you amend the budget code 510-400 to be 510-05059, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Any questions on the amendment? Okay. So, Councilman Howe, you move that amendment?
Move favorable action.
And second by Councilman Foley. Okay. Any discussion on the amendment? Okay, hearing none, the clerk will call a roll for favorable action on the amendment.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Sinapi? Ms. Travis?
Yes.
9 yes to amend.
Thank you. Councilman Howe, would you like to move that favorable as amended?
Move favorable as amended.
Second by Councilman Foley. Any questions or comments? Hearing none, the clerk will call a roll for favorable action as amended.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley? Mr. Gephardt? Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Sinapi?
Yes.
Ms. Travis?
Yes.
9 yes.
Thank you. Motion passes.
Motion passes as amended.
Next up, if you're following along, we've already done referred business of PCO 11-24, and we've also completed PCO 12-24. So now we're moving to new business on the agenda, page 5. First up is PCO 9-24, committee report ordinance.
It was moved to the floor with no recommendation.
This is the no-through trucking for
I lied to you. It was a positive recommendation.
Okay. For action, Councilman Ricks.
Move favorable action.
Second by Councilman Lattiser and Councilman Foley. Any questions or comments that were not asked earlier this evening in committee? Hearing none, the clerk will call the roll for favorable action. Yes.
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 Thank you. First passage. Number two this evening is PCO 13-24, an ordinance requiring a public hearing before the City Council regarding the five-year budget forecast. Committee report ordinance. This one was... Okay. Well, I believe that Councilman Lattiser was going to have an amendment on this, so I will recognize Councilman Lattiser.
Yes, I'll defer to the Council Solicitor to read the amendment.
Councilman Lattiser moves an amendment. It is to page 1, line 30, deleting the word public and removing the capital H and inserting a lower H before the word hearing, so that the line 30 would now read, Finance Director shall present such report and answer questions at a hearing before the City Council.
So my recommendation would be that we take up this amendment at this time, get that cleared so everyone's on the same page, and then we'll go back for any questions or comments as a whole. So do you make that motion?
Yes, I'll make the motion as amended.
As proposed. Do we have a second on the amendment? Second by Councilman Howe and Councilman Rex. Any questions on the amendment? Okay, so the clerk will call a roll just on the amendment.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Sinapi?
Yes.
Ms. Travis?
Yes.
9 yes to amend.
Okay, thank you. We had some good debate on this. Any questions or comments that were not stated earlier this evening in committee? Councilman Sinapi.
So the only thing I was going to add is that while I understand and agree with the points regarding transparency, it is important to note, and I think it was mentioned, that none of this, under the current scheme, there's no limitation on what questions can be asked about the budget forecast. Any councilman can email any question, call about any question, even the public can. It's not like the proposal is the only way they can get this information. It's already readily available to them. And if a council person wanted to, and I think it's happened before, if not necessarily in regards to the five-year forecast, but regarding other items, those answers could be posted far and wide for the world. So while I understand the thought behind this, it doesn't seem like a need by any means. And as was pointed out by at least one other council member, I'm just like they are, I'm big on efficiency, and this would readily impede that while accomplishing something that could be accomplished elsewise. So with that in mind, I'd like to call the vote.
So there, and nothing is in play right now, so if someone wants to make a motion.
I'd move for unfavorable action.
Okay, the Councilman Sinapi did have the floor. Is there a second to that? Second by Councilman Foley. Any questions or comments on the unfavorable action recommendation? Okay, so hearing none, a yes vote is for unfavorable action on PCO 13-24. The clerk will call the roll.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
No.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
No.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Ricks?
No.
Mr. Sinapi?
Yes.
Ms. Travis?
Yes.
6 yes, 3 no. Motion passes.
Thank you. Unfavorable passes. Next up is PCR 88-24, resolution relative to issue request for proposals for community projects. Committee report finance.
Favorable action.
Councilwoman Travis, could you move that for me, please?
Move favorable action on PCR 88-24.
Second by Councilman Foley. Any questions or comments that were not asked earlier this evening in finance? Hearing none, the clerk will call a roll for favorable action.
McAllister.
Yes.
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 Thank you. Motion passes. Ward 1, anything to docket under unanimous consent? Ward 2?
Pass.
Ward 3?
Pass.
Ward 4?
Pass.
Ward 5?
Pass.
Ward 6?
Pass.
Ward 7 passes. Ward 8? Ward 9? Councilwoman Travis.
If there be no further business of this honorable body, I move to a docket session.
All those in favor to move into docket session, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? We are now in the docket session. I have one item to docket, and that is community projects, ARPA community neighborhood projects, finance. Ward 1. Ward 2.
Pass.
Ward 3.
Pass.
Ward 4. Ward 5.
Pass.
Ward 6.
Pass.
Ward 8. Ward 9. Thank you very much. We are adjourned.